tonight's devotion, my tears unto God, taken out of verse 20 of our text. But my eyes poured out tears unto God. Job chapter 16, verse 6 to 22. Grief's outcry, verse 6 to 16. And grievous comfort, 17 to 22. The man of God under trial, amidst faltering circumstances, finds solace and strength in God. As he faces his fears, he's bidden by the Spirit of God to be strong and courageous, to wait upon his God. The presence of God enables the believer, in face of intimidation, to keep faith and trust in God, that he may say as the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15:57, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Job has been enduring the trying circumstances of suffering physical affliction and loss. His friends have been miserable comforters, accusing him of gross sin against God and suffering the consequences of it in all his afflictions. Wherewith shall a man find comfort in the midst of dire distress? Dear friends, are you here today and with a heavy heart? Is there some grief that has caused your heart to feel lonely? Well, here as we study the account of Job's affliction and suffering, may it comfort your heart. We have here a glimpse of grief's outcry, verse 6 to 16, and the grievous comfort. Is there comfort for the grieving soul? There is comfort in the Lord. There are some spiritual lessons that the Lord wants us to learn tonight. And here, we follow Job in his affliction. Verse 6 says, "Though I speak, my grief is not assuaged. Though I forbear, what am I eased?" He tells us that whether he speaks or whether he keeps silence, there seems to be no difference for him. His sufferings continue. He seemed to be in such a dire state. He seemed to be in such a dire strait that there seemed to be no way out for him out of all his afflictions. And for a man to face such afflictions in life and not finding relief and comfort can be very exacting and tough and difficult. So he says, "If I maintain my cause before God, what does it matter? It seemed to avail me nothing, for my suffering continue. If I am silent, if I keep quiet, if I just sit and wait, what is there for me that I can look forward to?" It seemed for Job, he felt he was doomed to suffering. But now, he says in verse 7, "He made me weary. Thou hast desolate all my company." He says that he felt himself very much afflicted and very tired. He felt that he has no more strength to move ahead anymore. Dear friends, sometimes in our afflictions, because of the trial that God allows us to build our faith, you'll find that you can be stretched to a limit. As it were, you can be stretched greatly stretched, but here you would find, as Job would experience, that kind of weariness, that kind of a loneliness, where he felt himself to be desolate. In other words, he felt himself totally shut in, caged up. The soul finds no solace. What to do in such circumstances? One writer said very well, Eugenia Price, suffering is stacked upon suffering in our lives because we do not recognize that warfare is accomplished. A very interesting thought, isn't it? As we look at Job's life, we find that in our afflictions, in our testings, God has already given us the final victory. And while we are facing it, we may not realize that the victory is on our side. Therefore, we would tend to become overgrieved, sad. We feel ourselves alone. But in the Lord, we have the victory. She says, the war is over. The middle war of partition has been broken down. No need for life and mind to be divided against itself because of these ugly wars of resentment and bitterness and fear and anxiety and self-pity. You'll find that during those times of our afflictions, it is so easy to fall into this ugly wars of this such emotions, right? Resentment, bitterness, fear, anxiety, self-pity during the time of our afflictions. When God would allow us to go through grief, you would find that you are confronted with unbearable, as it were, suffering. Where can man find true peace but with his Savior? What a friend we have in Jesus. So Eugenia Price, she reflected, for Jesus made peace by the blood of his cross. And this great act, by this great act, the wars fell down. The warfare came to an end. Peace became available. The tragedy now is that those of us who receive this peace he made there walk away from the cross and forget it. Have we forgotten the cross that our Lord bore on our behalf? The grief that he suffered on our behalf for sins? How he was there to suffer it all, and how he was there to win it all. If we think of it in this light, you would find that our distress, our affliction finds itself a glimmer of hope. We need to take hold of the truth of our salvation, the truth of the gospel, the truth of man's hope in Christ. That is where God gives us the strength to overcome. That is where God gives us the grace to endure. The suffering will still be there, but the resentment is gone. The bitterness disappeared. The anxiety and the fear and the self-pity melts itself away as we look to the Savior, as we cling on to the cross. We forget we have no rights to resent, she said. No rights to be bitter, no rights to be afraid, We have no rights if we follow Christ. This is the freedom. This is the comfort. This is the peace. So when we look at the gospel, we look at the cross, we look at the accomplishment, what must it bring to us? Comfort, as the prophet Isaiah says, comfort ye my people. The warfare is accomplished. He is our peace, who has broken down the middle wall of partition between us. God has accomplished it in Christ. And so if we have received it in Christ, then we know, right, that whatever suffering that we have upon this earth is temporal. And we must, because of what God had done for us through Christ, have the strength within us to wait on God, to endure, and to keep faith during those times of affliction. And so what is that secret of strength for the believer? What is the secret of strength that Job has in the midst of his affliction? Because he knew that his Redeemer lives. If you have taken hold of the gospel and you have taken hold of the cross of Christ, you knew what suffering he has gone through for you and what victory has been accomplished, even to death. Right? Death is the greatest affliction that can come to a man already. Right? You'll be afflicted unto death. But death was conquered, you see. And therefore the Lord wants us to understand and see and find comfort in our hearts as we look to the cross, as we look at the completion of God's redemption work for you. He has completed it for you already. So where is there any reason, any right to feel unhappy? We must understand this. And having understood this, then there must be a peace that will come to our heart in the midst of our affliction. There must be a peace that would comfort our heart, that strengthen us, that cause us to be still and to have that strength to endure beyond human endurance, because the divine power of God has come upon you. And this the Lord wants us to learn. So Job says in verse 8, "And thou hast filled me with rancors, which is a witness against me, and my leanness rising up in me beareth witness to my face." Not through age, Job says, but through affliction, which had sung his flesh and made furrows in him, so that he looked older than he was, and was made old thereby before his time. For this is to be understood of his body, for his as his soul, that through the grace of God, the righteousness of Christ, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. So you see, for a man of God, the evil one can afflict you on the outside, physically, even unto death. But within you, the inner man is renewed day by day. The inner man, day by day, receives grace from God. The inner man receives the righteousness of Christ. And therefore, there is no spot or wrinkle, in a sense that he has made you perfect in Christ. He has taken, washed you every week clean. And therefore, as Job looks at his physical frailness, leanness, right? When we are sick, right, our appetite goes away, and we miss meals, we lose weight, we don't look what we used to look. We feel ourselves totally lost, in a sense that in a sense that bodily speaking, right, we are afflicted, we have suffered, and we can feel the loss of it. And yet the Lord wants us to know, right, that the afflictions of this life cannot take away the accomplishments that God has made for you. So verse 9 says, "He teareth me in his wrath, who hateth me. He gnashes upon me with his teeth. My enemy sharpened his eyes upon me." Now, this is the believer in the world whereby the evil one is allowed to prowl and devour. But if you have been bought, you are bought with a great price, and nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. Nothing can disturb your peace in Christ. And therefore, it must give us comfort. It must give us encouragement. It must give us strength in the midst of our afflictions. Verse 10 to 16 is a description of ascending grief that comes to him. "They have gaped upon me with their mouth. They have smitten me upon the cheek reproachfully. They have gathered themselves together against me. God has delivered me to the ungodly and turned me over into the hands of the wicked. I was at ease, but he has broken me asunder. He has also taken me by my neck and shaken me to pieces and set me up for his mark." Right? Here you see very vivid description of what a wonderful way in which he describes his enemy's assault upon him. Right? He says that I'm like a target, and my enemies, the archers and the arrows, pointing themselves against me, sharpshooters, able to hit its mark. "His archers compass me round about. He cleaveth my reins asunder and doth not spare. He poureth out my gall upon the ground." In other words, you know, when you are hit by the enemy's arrows, your guts will fall out, right? All of it. Right? It will break you asunder. "He breaketh me with breach upon breach. He runneth upon me like a giant." So overwhelming is his affliction. Right? And verse 15, he says, "I sew sackcloth upon my skin." Right? Sackcloth is a mourner's garment. Right? Sackcloth is a mourner's garment. So he says, "I sew sackcloth upon my skin." What a description. Huh? He says that I'm going to go on mourning forever. Right? My body, right, is sewn sackcloth. In other words, what hope do I have in this life, living like that, going on mourning? How vivid a description he's making here of his grief, of what he's facing. And so he says, "And defiled my horn in the dust." The horn is the, well, is the pride of a man or an animal, right? The animals have the horn, right? The horn is the animal's pride. But if it's in the dust, well, he's saying that, you know, what is there for me? My face is foul with weeping. So he says that my tears, I've been crying until, you know, my entire face is so, you said when a person has been grieving and has been crying, has been sad, then you know you can see it, right, in the face, and my eyelids is the shadow of death. You can see that you know, when we are in grief, oftentimes sleep escapes us. We cannot rest well. And so the Lord here gives that description of what Job is facing, and that's the part that describes our first thought, grief's outcry. We shall stop here tonight.